Lower Brixton Prison of London, Dr. Robert Soblin today was reported running out of time in his losing battle with disease. Although his lawyers won at least 8 more days for Soblin in his other battle to stay out of the United States. He's wanted here to serve out a life sentence as a spy for the Soviet Union. The 62-year-old fugitive, said to be in great pain and losing weight rapidly from leukemia, cannot be expected to live long no matter where he goes or stays. Inasmuch as Dr. Soblin is a naturalized American citizen, Uncle Sam's claim on him is due and proper legally. But international law is a strange and subtle body of words with plenty of areas for disagreement. In London today, a well-known British lawyer who has asked that his name be withheld was interviewed for The World Today by BBC reporter Norman Croston about the Soblin affair.
Why has Britain been landed with this problem anyway? Why wouldn't it have been possible to fly on Dr. Soblin to the States as soon as he was fit to go?
Because when he first came here, the immigration officers served him with a notice, which the High Court upheld when it was challenged, that he wasn't officially here at all. He was only allowed to land on purely humanitarian grounds, and under the order which provides for these matters, the Home Secretary was able to put him onto a plane owned by the carrier who had brought him here. Now, the carrier in this instance was Airlines, and it's clear that the Israeli government put very strong pressure on the airline to do everything they could to avoid taking him back.
Now, what's the legal step taking place tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Dr. Soblin's advisors are applying for another writ of habeas corpus to be issued to challenge the deportation order which the Home Secretary made last week, presumably as an alternative procedure to for getting rid of Dr. Soblin.
Now, what are the possible results of this case tomorrow?
Well, in my view, the grounds which Dr. Soblin's advisors can use to challenge the decision are rather narrow. They can certainly argue that the Home Secretary's power of deportation is limited to saying, get out and stay out. And they will probably say that deportation is not transportation, and that the Home Secretary has no power to decide which country Dr. Soblin should be sent to. And if that is successful, then it seems to me that Dr. Soblin will be left with the choice as to where he goes.
Whatever happens, this is the sort of case that lawyers are going to argue about for many years to come.
Certainly. It could raise a very important constitutional point, because the deportation order of 1953 has been interpreted by the courts on very few occasions.
I now give you the traditional pilgrim toast. The Queen and the President.
So says the Queen and the President.
With glasses raised in salute, the British-American Society, known as the Pilgrims, opened an impressive luncheon ceremony in London today. Former President Dwight David Eisenhower, the guest of honor, surrounded by so many of the military leaders who served under him in the World War II years, was called by Pilgrim Chairman Sir Christopher Chancellor the greatest living American. And it was Ike, now 71, who gratefully returned the compliment as he reminisced about a conversation with former Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who has, of course, been described as the greatest living Englishman. General Eisenhower was then Supreme Commander of the Allies in Europe.
Our peerless World War leader in this section used to chide me once in a while. Sir Winston, in one of those conferences that all too frequently lasted till about 2:45, would say, my dear General, it's very good for generals to be optimistic, but we political leaders have to look at facts and probabilities in the face. Well, to this day, to this moment, I remember that. And I know all of the facts that stand in the, as an obstacle toward us creating a better understanding, better climate, better atmosphere for the propagation of peaceful causes. But again, Sir Winston would always say, but I think, with the forces you have, you will really reach the objectives you set for yourself. Now, I think we can reach those objectives. One of the things I've been bold enough to suggest is that to further this kind of effort, this kind of cause, we establish a international college, taking, let us say, students after their first 2 years of college and giving them 2 years, representatives of all the countries of the nations, all the countries of the world, including the communists if they are so minded, provided only that all of us, faculty and student, is dedicated to this one proposition, to seek truth and the propagation of truth, and to have nothing to do with doctrinal politics or with promotion of a particular ideology. If we could do this, the expenses with each country playing its own part, they would be negligible.
From across the nation and around the world, the Mutual Broadcasting System has presented the voices and events which made this day.